Welcome to the very first module of the Healthy Meal Method. I'm so excited to be starting this journey with you. So let's dive in. So in this video, I'll give you a quick overview of the program and some tips on the best way to approach the lessons. We'll clear up the confusion about what healthy eating actually is and empower you to make the best choices for you and your body. You'll also discover why healthy habits are not willpower, the secret to success, and how to go about developing the habits that are right for you. So a bird's eye view overview of the healthy meal method. So module one, it's all about habits. Module two, we'll look at fresh ingredients, the cornerstone of healthy eating. Then module three, setting up and actually using your pantry. Module four, the simplest method for weekly meal planning. Then module five, we'll go into avoiding waste, which covers mise en place or partially preparing ingredients so they're ready to use and so that they keep a lot longer. And module six, we'll look at the art of adaptation, which is my favorite, of course. And plus, there's also our bonuses at the end of the program. So how to approach the lessons. So each module is released on a Friday. I'd recommend booking in some regular time with yourself to watch the video for the class module, such as Friday afternoon or Saturday morning, whatever fits in with your schedule. You'll need at least 20 to 30 minutes for the weekly module contents of this video each week. I should note that this first module is by far the biggest in the course, so we'll be covering a lot of material here so we can get you results as soon as possible. The aim is to strike while the iron is hot, so I'd really encourage you to spend some extra time with this first module, knowing that this is as big and heavy as it gets throughout the program. It's also a good idea to set aside some time to choose at least two recipes to try out each week, more if you're up for it. Then make a list of the ingredients you need and plan some time to make these two recipes before the next module is released. So really encourage you to get outside of your comfort zone and actually cook something new. If you can't, and if two is too much, one, at least one every week. So some weeks there will also be homework for you to complete, as in this week, but if you can complete it straight after watching the module video, really that's the best option. But don't leave it more than 24 hours so everything's fresh in your mind. And if you do need to leave it longer, you might want to go back and just kind of have a bit of a refresher on the module. And I really wanted to stress this, that the only way you're going to get results is to take action on the lessons that you're learning. You can watch all the videos you like, but until you actually do something different, you're not going to see the results. It's that simple. And a final note on setting yourself up for success. Countless studies have shown that we break promises to ourselves all the time, but we will bend over backward most of the time to avoid breaking promises that we make to others. So use this basic bit of human nature to your advantage and make a public promise to follow through on all the homework exercises in this program. Choose the forum that's going to be the most motivating for you. It might be telling your partner or your best friend, or maybe you announce it on Facebook or even just in the comments below this video or somewhere else that you hang out online. Just as long as it's meaningful for you and it's going to motivate you to follow through on doing the exercises and cooking some new things and exciting things. So moving on, we'll look at what is healthy eating. So nutrition can be a very confusing topic. There's no doubt about that. There are a few reasons for this, and I think it's really helpful to understand why it seems so confusing. First, nutrition is really complex, especially when we're looking at our overall health. There are so many factors just beyond how many calories we eat each day. There's the type of calories, you know, whether it's carbs, protein, or fat. There's the presence of micronutrients like vitamins and minerals, the presence of toxins or nasty things that we shouldn't be exposed to, our stress levels, how much exercise we're getting, how much sleep we're getting, and the state of the beneficial microbes in our digestive system even can make a difference. And then if you add the fact that not everyone has exactly the same biochemistry to begin with, and you can see why it isn't so straightforward. And then on top of that, big food companies have a lot of influence in nutrition policy and recommendations, and the recommendations put out by the government. And another factor that muddies the water is that much of the funding for nutrition scientific research actually comes from big business who are looking to make health claims and sell more food products. I know. It's actually surprising It's not even more messed up when you think about it like that. But before you start getting totally depressed about the state of nutrition science, there is a happy ending to this story, so sit tight. But first, I'd better be clear about my credentials. So I'm not a professional dietitian or a nutritionist. However, for my food science degree, I did study nutrition at university along with basic biochemistry, so I understand the fundamentals. I also love reading nutrition blogs and books because it's a bit nerdy like that, so I keep up to date with the latest findings. But as I mentioned earlier, there's an easy way to approach nutrition. I've boiled it down to three main principles. So my three healthy eating principles. Number one is to find what works for you. So we're all slightly different in our genetics and our biochemical makeup, as I mentioned before. For example, some people are very sensitive to insulin and others need to produce much more insulin to get the same results. And this explains why some people can eat junk all day and remain lean, whereas others like just think about chocolate cake and they tend to gain weight. So really the only option is to take responsibility for figuring out what best works best for you and your body. So what do I mean by that? Simple. You just need to try things on yourself and then observe how it makes you feel. Think of it as being a healthy eating detective, someone who's curious about finding out what's best for you. It might seem a little scary at first, but you'll soon find that it's very empowering when you take control of your own healthy eating plan. So we'll go into this in much more detail when we look at developing your healthy habits later in the video. So my healthy eating principle number two is my favorite, eat real food. So the rate of obesity is increased at the same rate as our consumption of processed factory food. Coincidence? I think not. So what is real food? Michael Pollan, the author, recommends not eating anything that your grandparents wouldn't recognize as food, but that would rule out sushi for me. So I prefer to think of it real food as anything that you can buy without an ingredients list on the pack, or if there is an ingredients list that it only contains a few items and that all of those items sound like real ingredients that you'd find in a pantry, not chemicals in a lab with numbers attached to them. And of course, anything real food includes anything that comes without a package, you know, especially vegetables, meat, fish, etc. So moving on to my healthy eating principle number three, eat lots of vegetables. So vitamins, minerals, fiber, antioxidants, plus they're delicious, what's not to love about veg? Actually, eating lots of vegetables has been the one constant healthy eating message that you'll get. It's about the only thing that everyone that is interested in nutrition actually agrees on. You often hear that it's important to eat a wide variety of foods, especially vegetables. And while I agree, I think it's more beneficial to be eating the same few vegetables every day rather than eating no vegetables at all. I also think it's really important not to get too overwhelmed or put too much pressure on yourself. After all, you don't want to give up because it's all too hard. So rather than try and fit all the variety into every meal, what I do is that I prefer to keep it simple and focus on including at least one healthy dose of a particular vegetable in each meal. I then try and vary the veg that I eat over the week, so I'm getting my variety on a weekly or fortnightly basis rather than just daily. I find that this way I'm way more likely to be getting more veg without stressing myself out. And that's what works for me. But I should remind you about principle number one. If it doesn't work for you, that's totally cool. It's up to you to experiment and find an approach that does. And really, if you follow these three things, finding what works for you, eating real food and eating lots of vegetables, that's all you really need to do. You'll be healthier than 95% of the population. However, there are a few misconceptions about nutrition that are important to address to make sure you don't get misguided. So I have another three follow-up guidelines just to make everything super clear. So guideline number four, don't be afraid of fat, including saturated fat. So in my first job as a young food scientist, I worked on developing low-fat cereal and snack products. And what do we replace the fat with? Yep, you guessed it, sugar. Lots of different types of sugar. I still feel guilty that I contributed so much to the whole low-fat fiasco when I was working in that job. So here's the thing. Fat is an essential part of a healthy way to eat. Not only that, fat is the best fuel for us to burn for energy. I won't go into the details here, but all you really need to know is just to avoid low-fat food products. But if you're eating real food, you're already doing that, right? But if you are interested in learning more about the benefits of burning fat for energy, see the links to the two articles from Mark's Daily Apple in the resources tab under the video. And there's two articles there, one called What Does It Mean to be Fat Adapted? And the other, Why Fat is the Preferred Fuel for Human Metabolism. It's really interesting stuff if you're into that. It's totally cool if you're not. And before we move away from fat, it also turns out that saturated fat does have a place in healthy eating. It tends to be the most stable fat for cooking, which is great. And it's also beneficial for our brains, our lungs, and our immune systems. So I'll include a link in the resources if you'd like to read up more on saturated fat. And there's an article called 7 Reasons to Eat More Saturated Fat. So moving on to number 5, our guideline, be wary of sugar, especially fructose. So you're probably all over the concept that eating loads of jelly beans isn't good for you. But how about fruit? While fruit does contain vitamins, antioxidants, and fiber, it's also laden with fructose, or fruit sugar. The problem with fructose is that it gets stored directly as fat by our bodies. It's actually a special, it's quite unique the way that it's used by our bodies, and it's not ideal. So then to make matters worse, our bodies don't have a system for detecting when we've eaten enough fructose. So there's no actual off switch, which means it's easier to overeat. And if you think about it, like you can easily, I don't know about, I can easily drink, you know, a really large, orange juice, but I couldn't drink the same amount of milk, you know, it's just something unique about sugar and fructose in particular. So if you're interested in learning more about the evils of sugar and fructose, I really recommend reading Sweet Poison by David Gillespie. But you don't really need to know that much about it. Sugar's not great, and the less you eat, the better, really, is the message. And I just wanted to be clear, if you are someone who needs something sweet, then fresh whole fruit is totally the healthiest option rather than, you know, some candy or confectionery. But of course, not all fruit has the same sugar levels. So the best choices that I really recommend focusing on are berries, especially blueberries, apples and pears, peaches, nectarines, plums and cherries, and leave the other fruit, which tends to have a lot more sugar, like pineapple and mangoes and that for more treat occasions. But of course, if you're eating real food, you won't fall into the trap of packaged sugar-free products as well. Then follow-up guideline number 6, go easy on grains, especially wheat. So the main problem I have with grains, even healthy, you know, so supposedly healthy whole grains, is that they provide loads of carbohydrate without enough beneficial micronutrients. So for me, I prefer to get my carbs in the form of vegetables, you know, root veg, and also legumes, so especially chickpeas and lentils, which are favourites of mine. But even if you think you don't have a problem with wheat or gluten, you may find that your health actually improves if you experiment with removing wheat from your diet. It's not just a digestive thing. In the book Wheat Belly by William Davis, he links the consumption of modern wheat with all sorts of ills like you wouldn't believe, including things to do with the brain like schizophrenia. So it is, you know, really would encourage you to go easy on wheat where you can. And just a final note on healthy eating guidelines. I could also add watch the carbs, but if you're avoiding sugar and grains and you're keeping your processed food to a minimum, then your carbohydrate intake will probably be fairly moderate. Unless, of course, you're like a certain Irishman I know who has a heavy potato addiction, but there's worse things to be eating. Okay, so we'll move on to why you need habits and not willpower to eat well and be well. So have you ever resolved to start eating healthy only to have the wheels fall off after a short time? Well, you're definitely not alone there. The good news is it wasn't your fault your resolution didn't stick. Pretty much everyone will struggle to succeed if they're relying on willpower. As Kelly McGonigal, PhD, writes in her book, The Willpower Instinct, willpower is something that we only have a finite amount of. So if you've been using your willpower all day to get through your work, then by the end of the day, your willpower supply is low when it comes time for dinner. So this is why it can be so difficult to exert self-control at times, especially when we're feeling tired. And what's even worse is that studies have shown that willpower is dependent on blood sugar. So when you're hungry, your willpower is at its weakest, which explains why it can be so difficult to make good food choices when you're starving. So what's the alternative? In a word, habits. One of the biggest differences between healthy, active, slender people and their overweight counterparts is that healthy people tend to automate their decisions by making healthy habits part of everyday life. This way, healthy eating isn't something they battle with every meal. It's on autopilot, so healthy choices become effortless. So the best plan is to save your willpower for changing or creating your healthy habits, and then let your habits put your healthy eating on autopilot. It's really about setting yourself up for success. So now let's look about how we actually do that with six steps to putting your healthy eating on autopilot. So last year I took a fabulous short online course, learning how to develop the habit of meditation. It was run by Leo Babauta from the blog Zen Habits, who's a master at the art of developing new habits. By changing his habits one by one, Leo has completely transformed his life. He quit smoking, lost weight, became vegetarian, started running marathons, got out of debt, and has built an incredibly successful blog and business that's allowed him to quit a job he hates, all with a wife and six kids. He's pretty much turned his whole life upside down. And how did he do it? One small change at a time. As Leo says on his blog, small steps, that's how you're going to change your life. You'll probably get impatient and want to do more, but trust me, this is what will work. So let's look at six steps to developing healthy eating habits. So step one is to identify the habits you want to break or the habits that you want to form. So if you're confident you know what you want to change or what you need to change, just write a list of the things you want to change and move habits you want to change and move on to step two. But if you're like me and you're not so sure and if you're up for it, I really recommend giving yourself a little healthy food habit audit. So this can This way we can be sure that you're working on the habits that will have the most impact for you and you'll get the biggest bang for your buck, so to speak. So for 2 weeks, really encourage you to keep a food diary and a food and habit diary. It can be a paper notebook or it can be on your phone. I like to use a note in Evernote, so then it's on my phone and on my computer too. Just make sure that whatever format you choose, it's easy to enter the data when you're out and about. Then what you need to do is record what you eat and drink and roughly how much and how and when. It can also be helpful to record how you're feeling each time you eat, whether you know you're tired, hungry, bored, stressed, happy. And just do this for 2 weeks. There's no need to be completely over the top in detail, but just do what feels comfortable for you. And if you want, you can track your exercise as well. Then after 2 weeks are up, review your notes twice. The first time, look for your strengths. What healthy habits do you already have? What can you build and can you build on these? Write a list of your healthy strengths. And then go back and review your notebook again and have a look for the biggest problem areas. And then prioritize these problem areas based on what you think will have the biggest impact and which will be the easiest to change. And then you're ready to move on to step number two, which is to choose the habit that you want to focus on first. So look at your two lists and decide which habit you want to go after first. It's up to you, but I suggest starting with building on one of your strengths first to get some runs on the board so you don't get discouraged. If you're not sure what habits you could develop or change, I've actually included a list of healthy food habit ideas on a separate tab to get you started. So we'll go through those in a minute. I also recommend mapping out the next 6 to 12 months, focusing on one habit each month, since it usually takes at least 21 days to form a new habit. And some research has shown that some habits take up to 60 days or longer. So if you find that you're struggling, you may need to repeat a month, but you know, it's really up to you to see how you go. The secret to making changes in your life is to set small goals, as Leo said, and take baby steps. By setting ourselves up for success, we gain the confidence and motivation to keep making changes one after the other. It also helps us persevere and try again when we fail, which is really likely to happen given that we're human. So even though you might be tempted to do more, really encourage you just to focus on one habit at a time. This is super important. Remember, your health is a journey, not a destination. So we want to focus on making lasting changes that will stick with you for the long term. So when you've got you know which habit you're going to focus on, then we'll move on to step number three, which is to develop a plan for your for either developing your new habit or kicking your old bad habit. So there are three parts to any habit. One, the trigger or the cue that starts the process. 2, the actions you take once that trigger has happened. And then 3, the reward you get for taking the actions. So in order to change your habit, you need to identify the trigger and the reward. Then you need to develop a plan so that when you feel the urge or the trigger, you do a different set of healthier actions to get your reward. It's kind of like an if-then situation. So it'll take some conscious effort or willpower in the beginning, but with time you'll reprogram yourself and a new habit will be born. There's an excellent video by Charles Duhigg sharing how he went about the process to kick a daily cookie habit and lose 12 pounds in the process. I'll include a link on the resources tab, but highly recommend watching this short video to give you a great practical example of how habits work and how to analyze your own habits to really get a plan that's going to set you up for success. So then continuing on after step number 3, when you've developed your plan, we move on to step number 4, which is to write it down and make a public commitment. So this is about public accountability, which I mentioned earlier in the video. I don't know about you, but I break promises to myself all the time, but promises to other people, I do everything I can to keep them. So what we're doing here is we're aiming to use this natural human instinct to our advantage. It can be sharing a habit goal with your partner or your best friend, or you can do it online on Facebook or in the comments below this video. Just make sure it's public enough to motivate you. And then you can move on to step number 5, which is start as small as possible. So I know I've already covered this, but it's super important, so it deserves a step on its own. The smaller and easier the change, the more likely it is that the habit will stick. Then once you've had some small success, you can build on that with making the next tiny change and the next. And then you can move on to step number 6. So if you do fail, keep trying. So making changes in your life can be tough, and there will be setbacks along the way. That's a given, no matter how dedicated you are. The thing to remember is that you'll only fail when you give up or quit trying. So the answer is to treat failures as a learning experiences and just keep trying. So in the wise words of Aristotle, we are what we repeatedly do. So excellence then is not an act, but a habit. So I thought I'd run through some ideas here for healthy food habits. So this is just a list of habits you might want to consider working on. It's by no means exhaustive. And if you do have another idea for a habit you'd like to change, love it if you share it in the comments below so we can all be inspired. So here we go. 1, cooking dinner at home a certain number of nights a week. Taking your lunch to work, you know, 1 or 2 days a week or more. Shopping at your local farmer's market, a great habit and, you know, a really lovely thing to build into your life if you can. But if you can't, a farmer's market, just doing a regular food shop, you know, whether that's weekly on a Monday night or on the weekend, whatever works for you. Eating breakfast, another good habit, although highly recommend going for, you know, a high protein, healthy breakfast rather than toast or cereal. Developing the habit of mindful eating, this is something I'm working on at the moment. So what I'm doing is when I start to load up my fork for the next mouthful, I check to see if I'm already chewing. If there's food already in my mouth, then I put my fork down and focus on chewing and enjoying my mouthful. And it's amazing, just that simple kind of check-in process. I'm slowing down with my eating and I'm enjoying my food more. So I'm feeling way more satisfied after my meals as well. Another one for mindful eating is eating at the table instead of the TV. Eating 3 meals instead of grazing. This could be a bit controversial. You may have heard before that it's, you know, healthy to eat lots of little meals throughout the day, but research has actually shown that people that tend to graze generally weigh more than people that just stick to having 3 proper meals. And for me, I know that if I'm snacking all the time, it's hard to stop, whereas if I'm just having 3 meals, I only have to stop eating 3 times a day, if you get what I mean. More on this kind of mindful eating idea is to chew thoroughly. That's something that a lot of us don't do, and it can really make a difference. Eating more home-cooked foods, a bit vague, but you get the idea. Eating healthier restaurant foods. So if you are going out, think about how you can make healthier choices when you're ordering. Switching to healthy snacks like nuts and making sure that you have a supply of healthy snacks so you give yourself the option if you are a snacker, and rather than getting to the cookie jar. Another option is to cut out snacks. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, grazing, snacking, if you can avoid it, it's a good idea. Another tip that we'll be looking at helping you with in module 5 when we talk about waste, but using all the food that you buy. Another idea for a habit, eating vegetables at every meal, including breakfast. So, you know, poached eggs with spinach is a favorite of mine. Cutting out sugar, be pretty self-explanatory. Cutting out processed food, which I highly recommend as much as possible. Going gluten-free without relying on gluten-free products. So, you know, kind of instead of having sandwiches, looking to be having salads and that sort of thing rather than using gluten-free bread, although I do, you know, use a little bit of gluten-free bread here and there. Not drinking your calories, so sticking to things like water, tea, herbal tea or coffee. Using a meal plan, so we'll cover more on this with my easiest meal planning, the 10 ingredient shopping list meal plan method in module 4. But the other option is to not use a meal plan. And in module 6, the art of adaptation, we'll go into how to do that. But if you're interested in finding out more, I highly recommend checking out the Master Your Meal Plan program here on the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School, because that really is a focus course that's teaching you how to do that. And then another idea, keeping an ongoing shopping list. This is something I just do on my phone. So when I notice that I'm running out of something, I just put it in, you know, during the week. And then when it comes to the weekend, I've got my shopping list ready to go. Another random idea, replace desserts on weeknights with fresh fruit. Replace desserts on weeknights with a herbal tea instead. Weigh yourself every day. So this is an interesting one. I've just started doing this. So read that research has shown that people that weigh themselves every day and are aware of the fluctuations in their weight actually on average weigh less than people who don't. So just that knowledge can really make a difference to your to your food habits. And then finally, developing the habit of regular mise en place, which we're going to go into in module 3, I think it is. But that's just a fancy term for preparing ingredients ahead, basically, and we'll cover a lot more of that later in the program. Okay, so moving on. So next we'll just go through your homework. So this is the biggest homework that you'll have for the program. So first thing, I really encourage you to complete step number one for developing your habits. So for most of you, that will be actually starting your food habit diary for 2 weeks. And we'll follow on with that in the homework in later modules. Then step number two, homework exercise number two, it's only a 3-minute video, but it's really enlightening. So watch the Charles Duhigg video using the link on the resources tab, and we'll really explain this whole concept of habits a lot more about how habits work and how powerful it can be. And then finally, really encourage you to choose at least one new recipe from the list below and try it, you know, get the ingredients and make sure you try it out this week. So what's up next? Next, we'll be moving on to module 2, which is fresh ingredients.